people who wanted to be here today who are not here. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
They died. Well, it's good for us to be in the house of the Lord, yeah? Well, I think it's good. Matthew 26, then. Look at this, I've got Australian notes here, they're upside down. Matthew 26. Now, the preface to this is, I'm not sure if I've preached this here before, and it's not because I haven't got nothing to say. I started on a message, I wrote it all up. The way I do my prep is I sit down and I kind of brainstorm-ish, and then when I then sit down to write it up properly, I kind of pad it out a bit. Well, I had a good message, it's all about the blood, it was going to be great. The blood of Abel speaking of better things. And the message behind that was, he left something behind. Well, then I got on to one of my favourite stories, the woman with the alabaster flask. So that's where we're going to go. So I've done it all, it's all ready, I'm not being lazy. And then all of a sudden I just felt not comfortable with it. So that's why, now I did do the prep as well, I didn't pull out something else, I did do the work. So that's the prep. So we're going to talk about a woman who did something that cost her something and she got something. So you want a title? She did something, it cost her something, she got something. Easy message, we hope. Right, so let me just keep painting. Father, just come by the Spirit for a moment. He said he would be our teacher, our guide. He would take those things which are yours, he would reveal them to us. He says, your word is alive and active and sharp and ready, so your sword, it makes a division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and exposes the secret thoughts and intents of our heart. He said, the entrance of your word brings light. He said, you sent a word and healed them and delivered them. So Father, we're expecting today something to happen because your Spirit is here. So speak, Lord, we pray that each one of us might receive the implanted word. It may produce fruit in our life to your glory and your praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. The people of God say, Amen. Matthew 26. And look, I've even got a little note in there, saving a bit of time. He says, now Jesus is sat at the house of Simon the leper. I'm right, isn't I? Of course. Yeah, 26, and we start at verse 1, don't we? No, we don't, we start at verse 6. Now Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. And a woman having an alabaster flask, a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But Jesus was aware of what they said to them, and he said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you will have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this woman will get mention and have a memorial. And I preach this message throughout the whole world at various times. So I want to tell you, she's still getting a mention now because she's getting it today. So an alabaster flask. Alabaster is like this soft marble stuff. And it comes from a plant in India, a grass, and they beat this grass, and out comes this oil. It smells lovely. They put it in the flask. It's got a long neck. And once the neck is broken, that's it. You can't stick the genie back in the bottle. That's it. No, little cork, done. Job done. So that's the background to this. Yeah, it's very costly, as we all see. So she comes, and this is mentioned in the two synoptics, Matthew and Mark. There's a different one mentioned in Luke, and in John chapter 12, it probably is the same story. All right, so now you've got the whole kit. Matthew 26 says this: Jesus sat down at supper at the house of Simon the leper. Interesting. Why? Well, of course, is Simon a leper? And if so, Jesus shouldn't be there, because according to the law, it was illegal to sit down with a leper. Or was he an ex-leper that Jesus had healed? I like to think that one, really. So John the Baptist, remember, somewhere in his ministry, he's a bit worried about Jesus. He's not quite sure what's going on. So he sends a couple of his disciples to come along, and he says to them, are you the one? And then they say to Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus turns to these guys and he says to them, now listen, tell John what you see and hear. Let me get them in the right order for you. You're in Mark 14. And, oh no, you ain't. You're in Matthew 26. No, you're not. Excuse me, I'm running ahead of myself. Matthew 11 and 5, he says this: the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, I can't see my own writing. I need to get new glasses, I think. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Most of that comes from Luke 4, 17 and 18. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to them, and all that stuff, which is a repetition of Isaiah 61. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed. Another story. This is one of these ones you need to get, really. I don't know if I just talk Bible a bit sometimes. Another leper comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, now this is why people struggle with healing business. Is it the will of God? This is the only place in the Bible where you will find someone say to Jesus, are you willing? And it's got nothing to do with whether Jesus was willing or not. It's the bloke saying, would you do it for me? Jesus is always willing to meet that. Jesus is always the healer. He is Hebrews 11, 13 and 8. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Acts 10 and 38, he went around doing good and healed all. I like that. All who were oppressed by the devil. I'll teach you today, couldn't I? That word oppressed means actually under the hammer. It don't mean kind of like, it means, and none of you are ever under the hammer. No, but yeah, it's not just physically. And people get confused with lots of words. You know that word prosperity, and people reduce it to money. It literally means to do well. I am doing well, thank you. I can have nothing in my pocket and be prospering. This is doing well. God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul doth prosper. To do well. So, God wants me to do well. You ain't got my life. I'm not God. I ain't got to worry about it. But I know what God wants for you, and God wants you to do well. You wouldn't be doing well under the circumstances. Well, come out from under the circumstances, because God wants you to do well. Oh, I'm not going to like you. Don't worry. The more you get to know me, the more you dislike me. So this guy comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing. And I love this. And he says, and immediately Jesus reached out. I tell you what, that touched him more for that man and them scabs falling off and them bits coming back or whatever happened. That touch that he had been deprived of for so long, that touch says, hey, you are you and I care about you. Because I tell you why, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever.
He is the leper cleansing man from Galilee. He's a soul saviour. He is the one who can touch us where he can make us. No, do you know there's a story of another group of lepers? They come to Jesus. Remember 10 of them, and there are 12. There's 10 of them. And Jesus comes to him. And he says, now go and show yourself to the priest. And, and he says, and on the way, they were healed. So sometimes your healing is on the way. I prayed once, and it didn't happen. Well, Jesus said, pray again, buddy, because your healing's on the way. So as they went, on the way, they were healed. One comes back and is made whole. Get this? They were healed, but all their mental and emotional and everything else problems are still going on. The one who came back and gave thanks is made whole. And there is the difference between being healed and being made whole. And so many people are so concerned about being healed because they don't want to be made whole. They don't want to change. Come on. That's not the message though, is it? Could be, but it's not. I'll leave that one for you to preach. So, and who was this woman? If you want to go to John 12, it's Mary, the sister of Martha. Why do I want to say this? I know why I want to say this. It's at John 11. I'm right ahead of myself. In John 11, you'll find her in an interesting place. Where is she? Oh, come. Anyway, all right, let's come to this. Firstly, she did something. Got to be an obvious question. Why did she do it? Why did this woman turn up with this alabaster flask?
She's prepared to do something.
She was. That's good. Good one. Why was she prepared?
She brought it with her.
She brought it, yeah. She brought what she had with her. Good.
She's expecting.
What provoked her to do it? You get me there? Right. She had sat at Jesus' feet, remember? Command her to come and work with me. There's Martha. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious for many things. Mary's chosen a better place. She sat at my feet. Listen, Jesus had spent ages trying to explain to everybody that he was going to die. It would seem that Mary was the only one that actually had an insight. Does that make sense? Because if you read it, the storm clouds are gathering. It's quite obvious how this story is going to work out. And yet she's the only one that she heard what the Spirit was saying to the church. Sometimes, so I'm going to talk about that in something strange that people didn't understand. Sometimes you hear something that somebody else is not hearing. I remember when we went out pioneering, start church. First lot got all upset because we were leaving. Another lot got upset because we were going to that place. There's always people not hearing what God's saying to you. Now I'm not saying we're rebels and go off and do our own thing, because I'm not for that at all. Sometimes God is asking something of you and saying something to you, or you are hearing something that nobody else is seeing or hearing. Now, don't be a rebel or revelation. That's rubbish. I'm talking about that which is asking of you. You see, it seemed that she would have this, she came prepared. Something had provoked her, something had settled in her spirit. And there's a gift in you. The Spirit of God wants to speak to this guy, that he's asking of you. And maybe you don't even, I wonder if she understood what she was about. All she knew was I'm turning up for this. Over my life, I've seen and done some strange things and wondered what. It's not like that's the hard to believe, but. And you wonder why. And it's only as you've done it, or not even as you've done it, even the after. Our life has been blessed in so many different ways. I'm just starting to think of a good illustration of someone doing something, just the Spirit kind of inspired me to do it. I'll give you an illustration. I think I've used that one here before. We visit Uganda, and we're praying for a sick young girl comes up and says that I've just left home. I'm not here for myself, just at home. My brother's just had an x-ray. And on his chest, he's got tuberculosis and everything else. So, be on your way, God bless you. That's in the morning. In the evening, she's back. Or the next day, I probably ran into the time frame of it. I didn't know. She said, the Spirit of God said to me, if I put my bus fare in the offering, he will raise my brother. No, this ain't my friend, by the way, I'm not going to collect it, it's not a market. That's what God says to her. If you don't take that action of faith, I will bless it. And she did it. She said, I'm back to testify. I got home, my brother did another set of x-rays. Gone. Why does that work? I do not know. All I can say to you is this woman had something in her. She had heard it. The Spirit of God impelled her, drove her to do something. And maybe that's you today. Do you know what? We resort too much just to be normal. I've got to tell you something. This is right. Being happy to do this. I used to have a military friend and his saying was, average wouldn't be good enough. Hang on. What was it? Average wouldn't be good enough if it weren't. Yeah. I'll get there. Yeah, I'll come to the end of it. I'll drop in my head as I go along. So there she is. She's impelled by the Spirit of God. But she did something. Remember, be what? Be prepared and be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. She had sat there and heard it and was willing to do something about it. Today in this church, you might hear the Spirit of God say to you, go and see Sister Smith and take her a banana cake. And she's like, no, have you got Sister Smith? I'm good. But, and you think, oh, that's stupid, it's one. But you know, it just might be that moment that the Spirit of God is sitting with Sister Smith, who's sitting there thinking, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. You are there, the demonstration of God meeting Sister Smith. So you don't seem strange. I don't bake. Take Sister Smith a cinder. The intentions here, sister. You know what I mean? But sometimes we limit God, don't we? We draw the boundaries. He don't ask you to give what you ain't got. He didn't say to her, give me an alabaster flask that you ain't got. He asked you to give what you have got. But I'm going to tell you something now, look at me, you're going to be really surprised, you've got more than you think. God's spoken over your life. God's got a purpose for you. And if you don't think that, you might as well die now. Really? If you ain't got a purpose, if you ain't got a reason for living, why live? That's upset somebody, but I don't care. Alright, she did something. Why? Because she had heard something. Be doers, James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. It cost her something. If you read the end of 2 Samuel, David goes and buys that threshing floor from whoever he buys it from. And the bank says to him, oh, you can have the oxen and the car, the kit, and we'll have the sacrifice. Come on, have it. The bank tells her and says this, I will not give the Lord a sacrifice that costs me money. Or I'll give him burnt offering, a sacrifice. I'll not give the Lord a sacrifice that costs me money. That's why sometimes you worship, you see. A reasonable what? Sacrifice. Sometimes worship is a sacrifice. What about the day you don't feel like it? What about the day you get snot? Because it's not. So, but the day you get upset, you're a thing. I'm a thing. That's when it becomes a sacrifice. Nevertheless, is it Job? It is. Though he slay me, yet I will praise. You saw a West Indian lady in our church in London. She had the same, she stuck me now, what, 4 years? She said, now is the time to praise the Lord, because you can't praise him when you're dead. It's from the book of Psalms, actually. But now's the time to praise the Lord, because you can't praise it when you're dead. For some people, they're dead already. Their worship isn't a sacrifice, it isn't an offering. It's a habit. Or a best spiritual aerobics. It's supposed to be something for that heart. So doing the good times, practice while it's going good, because when it's going hard, you're halfway there. Listen, maybe it's because I'm getting older and more. No, I'm not getting older, I'm getting more mature. Now I'm getting more mature. That's hard to believe. Now I'm getting more mature. I'm just appreciating the goodness of God more and more. Maybe because I've got something new to look back on. We had a guy from Kenya standing this other week. I just said to you, I can't tell you how many times I said to him, God is good. I took him around the building, it's all of God, God has been good. Talking about our family, God has been good. Talking about ministry, God has been good. Talking about my wife, God has been good. You know what I mean? And you start building that in your fabric. So when you squeeze, what's in there comes out. So it cost her something. Firstly, it cost her. She had something. It says, listen to this. In John chapter 12, verse 7, she has kept this for the day of my burial. We don't know how long she had it. Listen, we'll see in a minute. It cost 300 denarii. It's about a working man's wage for a year. It's her pension plan, basically. It's her, ready? There's a word. It's her future. See, she had planned her future. In some way, you can make it that way. In some way. I'll flog this for 300 denarii. Year's wage. Who again knows the old saints? Nothing's too good. What is it? Nothing's too good. Nothing's good enough to give to Jesus. Huh? Whatever we got. So there she comes. She's kept it. So it cost her something. It is. I'll read my notes for a change. It is possible she had this for some time, not knowing when the time would be right. You see, you've got something in you. Maybe you don't know the time is right. You don't know when. But the Spirit of God for this woman quickened it. Maybe you, even you. I don't deserve it. No, you don't. You don't know my problems. Don't need to. I'm so weak. Let the weak say I'm strong.
I don't understand it. You never will. God, don't ask of us
to have it all. I want to have got it all together. I'm now, believe this, I'm not 71 years old. I have to ask.
You forget that age.
All right, I'm going to. I'm now 71 years old. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what was it?
You still haven't got it all together.
Yes. How dare you? I still haven't got it all together. I'm offended. And I'm still working on it. I'm still a work in process. And yeah, I have made some, this is going to be hard to believe, some tremendous blunders. Oh, catastrophic blunders.
But you know what? When I get to heaven, God will not tell me not to try. He'll tell me not to sit on my derriere. For those of you who speak French.
Blessed
assurance. Plum duff. Whatever you want to call it.
Now, I don't think he'll tell me off for my mistakes. Because I was trying. I thought I heard God. And I thought I'd follow the cloud. And that's you as well. You see, I don't think God will tell you off. How many people are sitting there just full of potential and they're waiting for the angel to come and stir the waters or to take them by the hand and say, yes, it is me, dear child. Come and walk. Don't walk like that. You know, it did. But where would faith enter into it? And where would... See, we're supposed to have an adventure. Turn to somebody, they'll snarl at you and tell them, adventure. Yeah, you've had an adventure. The Christian life is supposed to be an adventure. What's it? John 8:44. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and you might have it. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son, John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be
free.
Oh, yes, sir. I have come. Do you know what? Life. I was sick of my poor mother, and I was sick back to where from my mother. She came to a place in her life, she was scared to die. And she didn't want to live. What a sad end. Why can't we live a life that's abundant? Why can't we? Do you know what abundant actually means? More than you can use. God will give you more than you can use. Famous woman preacher called Amy Templeton McPherson. Founder of the Four Square Gospel Church, and a woman, all together say, thank God, woman. She was preaching on Hezekiah, how God will give you an extra 15 years. And she said this, she said, I've got the tape of it in the course, it must have been 1940 or something. She said, yep, God will give you another 15 years if your life's worth living. Oh, some of you in here, I won't give you anything. I have upset people who are embarrassed about being a Christian. Or get angry with God for saving them. I'm a Christian. Like God's taken something from them. I used to be such a, you heard them testimonies? I used to be such a terrible sinner. We used to party and we used to drink. We got saved. If any man be Christ, if any man be Christ, he's what? A new creation. Behold, it doesn't get better than this.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. So firstly, she had something to do. Secondly, it was a value. I've told you that one, the 300 denarii, working man's wage for a year. Thirdly, though, it cost her being misunderstood. I'll just tell you our story. When we went pioneering, you know, and we did it right, we talked with a pastor, we did it over a period of time, we were doing church, tithing back to the mother church, and the whole kid, we did it right. People got antsy at us because we'd left them. You know, they'd been involved with the same issue or definitely discipled by us, and suddenly now we've left us. And yeah, I just didn't understand. And sometimes you will do things that people do not understand. So there she is doing a beautiful thing for Jesus. What waste. Remember what I said about that? What a waste. That's it. Someone give me something to Jesus. When you do that, it's turn around and say, so it costs you being misunderstood. And I could do more, but time is running away from me. John 12:4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who was to betray him, said to himself, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? But don't forget, people often have an agenda. Read on. It says, that he cared not for the poor, but because he was a thief, and whatever was put in the box, he took. He had an agenda. I'll sell it for 300 denarii, put it in the box for the poor, and I'm very poor, I'll help myself. And the next one is this. And some were indignant. You read that in Matthew 26. Do you know what that word indignant means? It's actually a terrible word. Believe it or not. CEV says angry. Message says furious. But that word means this. It's made up of two Greek words. One means much. And the second one means grief. It means much grief. Really quiet. Angry. Greatly afflicted is the best way to describe it. Because sometimes you do something and then in doing it you challenge the coldness of somebody else. Are you saying I'm not saying? I ain't said anything. Actions sometimes speak louder than words. Yeah. And people will get angry with you. If you are following the cloud, if you are going after God, let me just tell you this now. People will get upset with you. But did they not get upset with Jesus? You know, what did Jesus ever do to upset people? Think about it. Told them the truth. And met some needs. Most of all of these. But he didn't actually give them real grounds to be upset. But by doing what he was doing, he challenged their religiosity. He challenged their greed. He challenged. Without saying anything, his actions challenged. And sometimes your actions challenge. She did something, it cost her something, and last one, no, she got something. So there they are, getting all indignant and snotty and antsy, and this money could have been so, what a waste. And that is hard to, if you think about it. And it says, and Jesus hearing. Remember the old plaque on the wall, your grandma? Jesus the guest at every dinner table. Oh, I remember. Just the guest at every dinner table. Jesus heard
And he rises up. He would be a joy to say, you know, remember that woman called the dog? And Jesus rises him round. Don't ever wonder what you know. Anyway, and he says, and Jesus got up. I love it. When Jesus rises up, and goes, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, he'll fight for you. He'll fight your corner and he'll stand up for you. This woman is doing something beautiful for him. They got upset with her. He stood up for her. Every time. I can tell you now, 50-odd years working for the Lord and 30-odd years in ministry, God will always stand up for you. The Lord, the battle's not ours. The battle is the Lord's. There's more people that have to save themselves a lot of trouble. Jesus heard and said, you leave her alone. Back off. Fire. Leave her alone. You should have. Can you imagine now?
All the heads dropped down. And at that moment, all the heads in the room. He's talking about you. Jesus stood up for her. Luke, Mark, chapter 14 and 6. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for Jesus was aware of the situation. Second, Jesus commended her. Mark 14 and 8. She has done what she could. Now this is the challenge of the message, by the way. Could Jesus look at my life and say, he has done what he could? Confession time. Confession will open it up. But it's, she has done what she can. Don't ask of you what you can't. But if you don't ask of you what you can't, I'm bedridden, I can't. Well, you can pray. I'm only a widow. Well, you can still give you mine. I'm only a fisherman. Turn the world upside down. Ask me what you can. He does ask me what you can. She has done what she can. And the last one, and the one I love about this, and you're all glad, so I'm wrapping it up. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, wherever this good news is preached, throughout the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of her as a memorial, as a memory, as a monument. All those memorials we've got around London are there to mark an event. And the person who is involved in that. Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, for that whole world, this woman will be called to marry. See, maybe because I'm getting old, and maybe in 40 years, 50 years' time, the Lord calls me God. You know, 130. If you go for nothing, come on, if you go for nothing, it's easy to arrive. The Bible says, 70 is a load to man, if by reason of strength, 80. That's 80 for a start, yeah, because I'm pretty strong, I think. Then it goes on to say, in Genesis after the flood, 130 years will be theirs. You want to self-renounce that, mate? John Wesley put it well though. Lord, don't let me live to be useless. We should live ready, live expectant. I might be gone and raptured before then. If the Lord should say, Paul, I'm ready to go. I'm preaching by the way. I'm ready to go. My departure is at hand. The train's in the station. And for me, yeah, I'm
pray, the Lord, let me do something. Let me be born in the cloud until I meet you face to face. Lord! No, sorry, I'm excited. Wherever this gospel is preached, what are you going to leave behind? So you can leave your money behind. The kids are just saying, good terms, all right now. What will you leave behind of lasting worth? What would you have done for Jesus that he could commend? Could you say, Lord, I'm trying to give you the best? I'm not condemning anybody like that. I'm not condemning anyone from speaking to me. Why are we made for God? I think that will take for us the people who will hear. See, it's so easy to damage. So easy. Oh, yes, man. Yeah, you'll make heaven. But what will you leave? You know the story of the rich man and God? Mm-hmm. We're standing on the corner, take the hat off, and one turns to the other and says, I wonder how much he left. And one turns to the other and says, all of them. What does it profit a man if he? And yet, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth and rust and faith nothing. The illustration I use in my own church, no, I think it's still going to be, is the heavenly ATM. Imagine you go up there, oh yes Lord, praise God, and you go up to your heavenly ATM, nothing in your account. You've not laid up any treasure in heaven. This woman, I've just done it again, wherever this gospel is preached, you'll get a mention as a monument, as a memory, as a memorial. What will we leave here? And that's not to condemn, that's to excite. That's to provoke one another to love. Do not forsake the company and assemblies. Give us love. Provoking one another. As long as we're here, God bless you. I always tell people, Rob, and I say, oh, I'm just a woman. You are servant of the Most High God. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. You called before the foundation of the world. God has spoken over your life. Who do you think you are to say to God, I'm useless? And all the time he's saying, you are useless. Mm-hmm. You are useless. Can I give you one more? Oh, I'm so cool. You know the book of Philemon? There's a geezer in there called Onesimus. When I was first saying this, he's called him Onesimus. I said to me, there's a guy in there called Onesimus. It literally means useless. What a name to have. But Paul turned around and said, he has been useful to me. Some people call me useless. As far as the kingdom is concerned, he is useful. Thank you.
I'll let you turn your microphone off.
Yeah.
As Emma comes and leads us in work.